Welcome to Daily Defining Moments. This is Pastor Allen, and I'm so glad you're with me. Our goal each day is to help you open your Bible and connect with Jesus. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We're reading through the New Testament portion of the one-year Bible in the New Living Translation. Today is October 28th, and our reading comes from Titus chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, Paul says this, "Remind the believers to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. They must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone." Boy, this is such an important topic for us to wrestle with. So he says several things I want to touch on, and then I want to kind of talk about how it applies to our context. First, he says, submit to government. And that even means when we don't agree with the government. Keep in mind, when Paul wrote this, the Roman government is cracking down, is persecuting the church. So Paul says about a government that is evil, corrupt, and violent, a government that is attacking Christians all over the Roman Empire. Paul says, let's submit to the government. And part of the thing I think that Paul has in mind and God has in mind is we need to be about building the kingdom rather than fighting against the government. Remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. In fact, historically speaking, because the church took Paul's advice and rather than fighting with the government, submitted to the government and focused their attention on making disciples of all the nations, by the early 300s, Constantine declared the Roman Empire a Christian empire. So by focusing not on political battles, but spiritual battles, building the kingdom, making disciples, that actually transformed the government. And that needs to be the model that we follow. So we've got to submit to government even when we don't agree. Now, there is an exception. If the government tells us to do something that violates the word of God, that violates the law of love, then we have to protest. We have to say, no, we're not doing that, right? Regardless of the consequences. Now, here's something that's so important to understand. America has not replaced Israel as God's people. And I think sometimes something we struggle with is we have this idea that America as an institution is a Christian nation. And that's just not true. Now, America has a lot of Christians who live here, and that's great. And we have an opportunity to have tremendous influence in our culture. But America is not a Christian nation. The nation of Israel, the Jewish people, that was a theocracy. God was in charge, and the Ten Commandments were the Constitution. In America, we are a republic, and we have a Constitution, right? And so our responsibility as a republic, the power rests in the hands of people. In the theocracy, the power rests in the hand of God, right? So we've never been, it's not just that we're not a Christian nation now, and we used to be. We've never been a Christian nation. That's true. Our founding fathers built our Constitution on biblical principles. And that was great. And it has benefited, when we've actually followed the Constitution, it's benefited everybody. But when you look at American history, in fact, this year, I've read several books on American history, and I've just been learning more about our own history. And when you read some books on American history, it becomes painfully obvious we've never been Christian in the way we behave towards one another. So we can't claim we used to be Christian and let's go back to being a Christian nation again. No, we've never been a Christian nation. We have been a nation with Christians who have had influence on the culture, and that should still be true today. One of the great things about being a republic, because the power rests in the hands of the people, we have an opportunity to bring about a lot of great change. But we've got to be careful not to get mixed up. We've got to be careful not to think that the solution is political. Now, it's so important. Let me just say this. This is important. We should, I think, as Christians in a republic, try to vote for Christian leaders, try to place people in office, not just who claim to be Christian, but who will actually live out and govern that way and pass legislation according to biblical values. I think that's wise. You say, well, Alan, why? Why should Christians want to impose their values on everybody else? Because our values are based on the Word of God. And God is our creator, and he knows what's best for all of us. So any time God's law becomes our law, everybody benefits from that. But again, we've got to be careful not to think that means now we're a Christian nation and the answer is a political takeover. No, no, no. What's most important is that we as Christians, not that we're winning political battles, but that we're winning spiritual battles. That's what's most important. And I think one of the real challenges in the American church today is we've been much more passionate and fired up about winning politics, winning political battles, than we are about winning the spiritual battles, even in our own hearts and in our own families, right? And so we've got to win the spiritual battles. We got to build the kingdom. Our responsibility is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. The problem in our culture is not that we don't have the right politicians. The problem in our culture, generally speaking, is that the church has gone to church but not been with Jesus. And they're hoping to go to heaven, but they've not become like Jesus. And so then we've built our own kingdoms rather than building his kingdom and doing what Jesus did. See, the real hope for America is Jesus. It's the church. It's revival. And that only comes when the church is laser focused on being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, so that together we can do what Jesus did. If we'll do that, we'd actually transform our nation and transform our world. Because we've not done that, our nation is crumbling. And you see that all over the world. What God wants us to do is to love our neighbor, right? To follow Jesus. This is so, so important. Let me say one other thing. We have to be careful when you do think about politics to think that one political party is Christian and the other is not. Let me just say again, I've been studying American history this year. I kind of follow politics and have for years. And the truth is, both parties have some strengths, some things that are good, some things that are biblical and Jesus commanded us to do. And both parties are terrible at some things that Jesus commanded us to do. And both parties, our whole political system today is very, very corrupt and driven by money and special interest and powerful people who are acting in their own best interest rather than the interest of the country at large. And I just think we have to keep that in mind. When I think about all the presidents since Bill Clinton, that's when I was basically old enough to start kind of paying attention. All of the presidents have done some good things, but they've also all done some bad things, some things that I would say is corrupt and was bad for our nation and hurt people and had a political agenda and what just wasn't in our best interest. So we just have to keep all of that in mind. What we need is revival, and revival is going to come when the church all over America decides to be with Jesus and begins to become like Jesus and starts doing what Jesus did. And when we give up on that, when we lose focus on that, and then we're trying to save America through some political solution, then what we do is we lose all credibility. And listen to this. When we make any politician a savior, we lose all credibility. We destroy our witness. We do not need a man to rescue us. We need Jesus to rescue us, right? So watch what he goes on to say, I think, in this chapter. He says at the end of that chapter, verse 2, don't slander anyone, avoid quarreling. Instead, let's be gentle and show true humility. So listen, let's not run around in person or on Facebook or any other social media, slandering people who disagree with our politics. That's ridiculous. What we need to do instead is avoid quarreling. Let's not argue and fight about this stuff. Let's have some gentleness about us, some humility about us, so that we can protect our witness, so that as we're with Jesus and becoming like Jesus, we can do what Jesus did. So, what did Jesus do? Jesus didn't get caught up in politics. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus didn't get into all these political battles. He lived in the Roman Empire, and there was all kinds of abuse and corruption and all these bad things politically. He didn't find a politician to get behind. He wasn't preaching a political party or a political solution. He was helping reunite people to the Father. And that's what God has called us to do. You say, "Well, what difference will that make?" Well, watch what Paul says next. This is interesting. He says, "Once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other." Now listen, if that is true, there's no political solution that'll fix it. I want you to listen to this again. Paul says, before Jesus, we were foolish, we were disobedient, we were misled, we were slaves to our lust and passion, our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. That's a pretty accurate description of American culture and what we see even around the world. When that is true, there's no political solution. There's no government. There's no constitution. There's no man who can govern people if that's who they are. So what's the solution? Watch what he says next. He says, "But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life." What happened? What happened was Jesus transformed our lives. And when Jesus transforms our lives, we transform culture. That's the whole story right there. So if you want to know how can we save America, there's only one way. We have to be with Jesus and become like Jesus so that in America, we do what Jesus did when he was in Rome. And if we will, we can transform our culture. We can transform our world. If the church, if Christians, followers of Jesus all over the world would give up worrying about politics so much and instead would focus their attention on being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did, every country in the world would be saved. And Jesus would return. Doesn't that sound good? Man, I hope that encourages you. You know, one of the things that's been so frustrating in my 20-so years of following politics is just feeling like, gosh, who can I trust? And who's going to do the right thing? And who's honest? And who's not corrupt? And who has an agenda and who doesn't? Who's bought off? And who's a part of the system, the machine? And all. And it's frustrating because it's like, man, I don't know who can help us. Well, here's what's great news. We can trust Jesus. And if you and I we'll fall in love with Jesus and allow him to transform our hearts, and we begin loving people the way he loved us, guess what? We can trust Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah. That is what transforms culture. Amen? Let's pray for that. Father, I thank you so much for this encouraging word. God, it's so frustrating sometimes to watch what is happening in Washington or in Raleigh or in our own city council or town councils. And we're frustrated because we want to fix it. We want a solution. And the truth is, when people's hearts are far away from you, There is no political solution. But what you've invited us to do as your children is to be with you. Man, that's what this podcast is all about. That's what we're doing today, is we're trying to take time to connect with you and allow you to transform us, to become like you, so that our life, our character, the way we do relationships reflects the grace and the mercy, the kingdom of God. And then we can go into our world and do what you did. And we transform our culture, not through some political process, but by spreading and building the kingdom of God, taking his kingdom everywhere we go. We thank you. You have poured out your spirit upon us. You're with us to empower us to be your ambassador, to represent and build your kingdom. Help us to do it. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Man, that is so encouraging. Man, I hope that just blessed you today. Listen, share this podcast. I want to encourage you. Boy, if there's ever a message our nation needs, share this podcast. Let's get the word out. Come on. Let's be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. Remember, before I begin my day, God has something to say. We'll see you again tomorrow.